Welcome into another edition of Locked On Bills, Friday edition pre-game, pre-show here on Locked On. I'm your host today, Kevin Messeri. We will be going into a quick, brief weekend edition to talk about the pre-game and some matchups between the Bills and the Vikings, as well as maybe talking about some injuries and then getting into some advanced PFF statistics for both the Vikings and the Bills. Wanted to get into that a little bit as we were unable to talk about that earlier this week. Check out the crossover edition there. From Wednesday, that's got a lot of jam-packed information right from, you know, inside Minnesota, from one of the experts that we had on the show. So check that out from Locked On. But first, in the first segment here, I wanted to talk about the injuries. So we had the injury reports come out today. The Vikings looked fairly banged up that I wasn't too familiar with. Delvin Cook's out for the game. Everson Griffin is out. David Morgan, their second string tight end, is out. Marcus Sherrills, their backup DB and special teamer, is out, as well as their third-string running back, Mike Boone, is out. So, or he's questionable, sorry. So I'm not sure if he'll suit up. So either they're going to need to elevate someone from their practice squad, and it's looking like they don't have anyone on their practice squad at running back. So they might feel okay with Boone. Otherwise, they're just rolling with Latavius Murray and Rock Thomas, which I guess they could. I mean, two running backs isn't unheard of. Obviously, you can activate a fullback and CJ Ham there for the Vikings. So it's not unheard of to do two and a fullback, but it's a little risky. If something happened to Murray, they're in deep problems. They can't run the ball. And for any defense, that's a huge advantage. I mean, even, you know, if New England can't run the ball, it's a different ball game. I mean, that's how they play. They run that football. So Marcus Sherrills also is out once again. He's their leading kick and punt returner. So we're going to see Mike Hughes, I think, their nickel and first round pick there, a promising young rookie DB cornerback that I believe is their fill-in kick returner, so that should be interesting. As far as the Bills go, often injured, Shaq Lawson's out for this game, questionable for Gaines and Taron Johnson, which scares me. Luckily, the nickel is going to be Taron Johnson this game. Phillip Game is going to have to cover what seems to be, I would guess, Adam Thielen is going to jump in the slot on three wide receiver sets. So Johnson's going to get a little bit of him, and Gaines is going to get a little bit of Thielen, and both banged up. Don't like that too much. So that's going to be, it's going to be a big challenge with both of those cornerbacks. I mean, Trey White, I'm going to guess, is just going to cover Diggs, but maybe they'll just keep him on one side and see a little bit of both Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, the two dynamic receivers from Minnesota, the comeback kings. Both of them had a great plays. Thielen last week, pretty much in desperation time, caught up between two DBs. And then obviously we all know the Minnesota miracle in the conference championship, the divisional championship, to go to the conference championship from Stephon Diggs. So two dynamic cornerbacks, and there's only one Trey White. So that's going to be a problem. And then fortunately their third receiver is Laquon Treadwell, a first round pick there that's not received very well. So the Bills do get a kind of a break for as dynamic as this team is. They don't go really deep at receiver for what I thought was a pretty deep receiving core. So they, Stacy Coley was cut there. They just had to sign Aldrick Robinson and Brandon Zylstra to a street free agent, street free agent there with Aldrick Robinson was just bouncing around the league. So it's interesting. Like if one of those two receivers goes down, Wells Cook is obviously out. It turns into a much different ball game. Or if they're not producing at a high level, I think it's more evenly matched than the 17-point spread says. Obviously, should it be a 7-to-10-point spread? Yeah, probably 16. That's ridiculous. I don't think it moved at all after some of their, you know, two of their 8 to 10 best players are missing in this game, which leads me to believe, I believe that, I guess Griffin shows up in the injury report from what I've been hearing, but guess didn't make it out this week. They're looking ahead to the Rams and Eagles matchups. I mean, it's kind of sliding to the Bills. So if there's any motivation here at all, it would be a week like this where they're clearly saying, I don't really want to test these guys. It's not worth it. We need them against harder matchups, especially, you know, when Cook's had his helmet and been on the side working with trainers. Maybe he's really that in trouble. I think they're saving him for Thursday and then the following Sunday against the Eagles, the Rams and the Eagles in back-to-back weeks there. So I don't know. I mean, if you need any motivation, there's that. Another week for Josh Allen to kind of get used to the system. The Bills played it a horrible, and I've said this a couple times, a horrible three halves of football. Terrible. No one would ever say that that was even average football. They played terrible. At halftime of last week, I was sitting here saying, like, I'm not sure even what I can say. They're just really, really bad. But then we started to see some actual football from a team that I thought was actually 500. I thought, you know, 9-7 was lucky last year. I thought they'd end up 7-9. I thought those two games would come back to us. We saw last night from Tyrod Taylor, he doesn't move the bar at all on your team. He does, you know, there's games when he potentially beats teams that are poor, but even then he struggles. Like, look at the Jets game last year. And look at the Jets game this year for them in Cleveland. Did go out with a concussion, but I'm pretty sure, which is weird, I'm pretty sure he was going to be out of that game at halftime anyways for Baker Mayfield. Maybe not. Hugh Jackson rides or dies with him a little, you know, more than he should after two and a half games at that point. So you have what seems to me as a game that a couple of guys are out, and the Bills really only missing, once again, just out for is just Shaq Lawson, their defensive end, with Trent Murphy up and going, and then they have Nate Orchard ready, as well as Eddie Yarbrough, Lorenzo Alexander, and obviously Jerry Hughes. I mean, it is what it is there at that position. Shaq Lawson may never play a ton again. I mean, these injuries are killing them. They're absolutely killing them. Ray McLeod, Tywan Jones, and LeSean McCoy are obviously all questionable as well. I don't know what they're stashing Ray McLeod for. I mean, a guy with a knee injury that they needed to keep on the active roster to keep in roster spot, and they need to keep, you know, special teamers on this team as well. I don't know that they had the opportunity to keep Ray McLeod if they were keeping the special teamers that they did. So I thought that they should have maybe made a play for a real receiver. You've seen Streeter get signed. You also saw O'Leary go to Miami's practice squad. So you caught a couple people that you might add in Redmond at center, did make another squad. You had Ike Boddicker, the guard tackle that got signed, but luckily the Bills got him back on waivers. They weren't going to let him go again. They love that dude. So really interested to see how they built this roster. You know, kind of going into this game, they are coming off of a good half of football, 14-3 against the Philip Rivers and a Los Angeles team that was still playing. It was not out of reach. It immediately became 28-13, and they were playing football. And then they kicked a field goal way late after a couple of Josh Allen interceptions, but there was plenty of opportunity for the Bills to even make it closer than the 31-20 score showed. Played solid football, 14-3 against a pretty good team, what seems to me as a wild card team. I'm really disappointed in the first half, really happy with the second half. So we'll see if they can pick up momentum on that. And in a game where they have nothing to lose, I sometimes like those games where it's like, no one's expecting you to win. There's 17-point line. I almost think sometimes you play better than other situations. So that's what's really intriguing to me about this football game. And especially with the injuries that Minnesota came out with that I wasn't too clear on, I do think that they're looking forward to that game though. So, you know, right after this, we're going to get into some of those advanced level PFF stats that I wanted to talk about, as well as at the end of the show, I'm going to talk about certain matchups that I like, who's going to be playing, you know, from Minnesota, you know, kind of where they rank out and kind of where there might be some opportunity for the Bills to maybe make a push at this game. But, you know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know. Our co-hosts don't know. But you do know that you got to check out mybookie.ag. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with mybookie. Trust me, guys. They are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you additional $25 free play deposits over $100. So Joe and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use that promo code. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner and take that extra money. I mean, hey, that's an extra couple of $25 on their game you could bet on. So once again, promo code locked on. You play, you win, you get paid. Coming back into it, I do have advanced level, our sponsorship with Pro Football Focus. Love you guys out there. Do have an advanced statistics out in front of me. I know people don't like to take this as gospel, but is a talking point and it is a place of baseline that we can start on. There are a lot of people out there that say, well, they're not great, you know, this and that. They don't always know what the scheme call is. And it's like, well, if you have 15 or 20 guys that are analyzing each and every play and then coming up with scores that are streamlined, you let me know and I'll check out your system. But PFF does have the best model that's out there to me, regardless of kind of where you biasly or unbiasedly stand with it. I just use it once again as a baseline and not gospel. But their offense has been pretty good, hands down. It's actually been, to me, better than their defense, and that shows true on their advanced statistics. Their pass is 93.3 against Green Bay, 71.9 against San Francisco. So you see some pretty high passing scores there. Their pass block's been great too, 81.9 and 84 in back-to-back games. Receiving 67.2 and 75.4, so good. Once again, it's mainly because they don't have depth behind their starting two, so I think that score gets knocked a touch, even though it's pretty good. The run game, biggest advantage, especially without Dalvin Cook, 49.7. It's pretty below average, and 63.3 against Green Bay, which is going to be Lat Murray out there on Sunday. So no backup to speak of. Going to be interesting to see what happens. I think that's one matchup we'll get into here in the third segment. I wanted to talk about was that run versus run D, where I think the Bills need to win to have an opportunity at this football game. Defensively, 73.7 against San Fran, played pretty good against Jimmy G, and then 63.8, did not play very good last week. Their run defense is always pretty solid over there at 89.4 out of 100 and 71.3 against Green Bay. So those are higher end run defensive scores. Always tackle pretty good there, 85.4 and 70.7. And then pass rush, 74.8, 58.2 last week, though, so it kind of went downhill. And coverage, shockingly, 54.1 and 63.7, and an average special teams at 58 and 68.7 there. So there are some differences on defense, you know, for being as dominant as they are. They haven't fully came into form, especially without Griffin and Sherrills on that defense this coming week. So there could be another opportunity or two that you normally don't see against a Minnesota team like this. So did want to take a moment to bring that up, that can't trust Griffin enough. He's one of their key cogs of that defensive line. I want to talk about their coverage a little bit there. Mike Hughes got some praise, but still is only 48.2 in coverage last week. So that's, concerning if I'm a Minnesota guy. Mackenzie Alexander played, a good amount of snaps there and scored a 50.1. Xavier Rhodes wasn't up to his normal being either. He was a 50.5 against Green Bay, challenging matchups though there. So there are some coverage wins you can kind of make out of that. There's definitely been some decent opportunity for success. The Bills don't have much of a passing game, but the Minnesota has been known to be able to stop it with their top corners, which are top around the league, Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes and Mike Hughes there, and Mackenzie Alexander, a second round pick in 2016. They got some decent safety depth in Jaron Curse and George Ioka, who was cut from Detroit kind of inexplicably. So they and then Marcus Sherrills too is another guy that they have there, and a special teamer. So they really do have some really solid depth, in my opinion. I think that they have some opportunity at linebacker. Ben Gideon and Eric Wilson are kind of one of their starting level guys with Devontae Downs. That's all they have on the backups to Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr. So we'll see if there's an opportunity there to kind of figure out what can we do to run the football, whether it's Marcus Murphy, Chris Ivory, or LeSean McCoy if he plays. They've been said that beat had trouble with power and elusive backs. So a guy like Chris Ivory could come to play. I mean, I think I'm ready for a little Chris Ivory. I like what I saw from him. I thought Marcus Murphy had a miserable game against LA, a really, really poor game. Didn't block very well. One of the worst blocking running back scores I've ever seen or studied, as well as didn't particularly play good in the passing game, dropped a ball, and the running game. He always looks okay, but didn't have a great game. I mean, it is what it is. I'm going to really need him, though, if LeSean McCoy can't go. I'm interested to see if the team makes a move to call up Keith Ford if LeSean McCoy can't go, or similarly, they're going to run two running backs. I guess if Taiwan's okay, that would work because he could be a reserve third. But if he can't go either, I'm interested to see if they make a move to rookie Keith, undrafted free agent Keith Ford, a guy that did show a little bit to me in the preseason. So let's look out for that probably sometime tomorrow. I think you got to make the move. So I wouldn't be crazy shocked if I saw Keith Ford activated. That means that to me, that would mean that both Taiwan Jones and LeSean McCoy aren't going. in that one there. So that's watch out for that to happen coming up here soon. So did want to, you know, real briefly, I've talked about these before, but you know, the Bills scores, they played the run defense well. That's one that I actually thought they'd be weak at, but they've turned that part of their game around. 75.2 against Baltimore, 71.3 against LA. It's above average. Pass blocking's been better than people think. 78.7, 68.4. Check out my article in the Bills Wire for some in-depth breakdown on that pass block. It's not been the offensive line's fault. Once again, Marcus Murphy's been bad. The tight ends have been really bad in pass block. So whenever they've had Logan Thomas out there, he's a liability. I don't know if we'll see Kyree Lee this week to kind of shore that up a little bit. So that's been an issue. And then they have not accredited many sacks to the offensive line out of the offensive line. Brian Daboll said half, and that's probably about right. The other half are not on the offensive line. And then a key problem has been Ryan Roy. Not sure what the issue there was and how he's regressed so much since his decent fill-in year for Wood in 2016. Kind of went 2017 as a fill-in guy and was playing a little like reserve tackle and, you know, lineman eligible and stuff, and came back and played center. And I can understand why that Bodine competition went late. I mean, he's a last ranked center in the league. I know no one's excited for Russell Bodine, but I think he should get two games to see if at least he's better than last place play. He is a good pass blocker. Could help out Josh Allen a little bit more than Ryan Groy's been able to so far. Special teams for the Bills, been below average for the amount of players that they keep, 63.5 and 59.8. Not very good there. So just, you know, hey, it's kind of what's been happening. But hey, right after this, I did wanted to get into the some key matchups, player on player, team on team, here in the third segment of the show that you should be looking out for and that the Bills could potentially make this a football game with. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes? Why do we buy new kids' clothes if they're just going to outgrow them in a few months? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? I just had a little one. This is going to be a place I check out exclusively for clothes. There it is. It's swap.com, SWAP.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to a store after store and sifting through racks easily. Sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with easy-to-use filters and find just what you're looking for. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting environments, which is something you can feel good about. I mean, there's a special offer for our listeners. I'm just going to just get right to it. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. So let's make that known. Get 35% off select items with your first order with promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. That's 35% off at swap.com. Go on there and look and see if there's something for you guys. Could save you time and money, 35% off. Plus find new deals on every day on that swap.com homepage. Okay, guys. Lastly, we're going to get into some matchups here that the Bills, I want to talk about positive matchups. I mean, you can read anywhere, go anywhere if you want to see why the Vikings are 17-point favorites. Real quickly, they have a good passing game, a good offense in general, who has been playing pretty good football across the board offensively. I mean, the pass block's been pretty good there. They were great against Green Bay. The receivers are good. That's how they're going to win this football game. Their defense is always really good. But let's get into some matchups on why I don't personally think 17 – I think 17 points is kind of a joke. It is in Minnesota. Okay, I'll give you that. I would have been fine with 7-9. I think it's 7 points too many. I mean, is it semantics a little bit? Am I betting this? I might be. Check out mybookie.ag. But I think it's important to mention, like, this team's could be looking past. They have some key inactives in this game. Everson Griffin and then Jack Lawson. Advantage Buffalo, you know, we're taking a player out. And then Delvin Cook, Tywan Jones. Manage Buffalo, we're taking one of their other key offensive players out. And they're missing some key depth guys, a return guy and Cheryl. So we'll see what happens on special teams. That's a matchup I wanted to note. Bills pride themselves on special teams. Got a punter left-footed that kicks the ball. You know, this left-footed punter is all the business. It's been funny. We saw it was hard to field in week one against Baltimore. So, I mean, there could be an advantage there. As much as I tend to knock the special teams unit, I want to see an official benefit to them missing their kick returner and the Bills take advantage with their special team slots. I need to see something there. So we'll see if I'm right and if that comes to fruition a little bit there. and they get that special teams advantage, which Minnesota scored about the same, a little bit worse. We need that part of the game. Bills turnovers. We only have one fumble from week one. That's got to change. They have four sacks. I want a little bit more there too. So started to come on in that second half against LA. So those are the things that, you know, the turnovers specifically, Browns are getting, I think they're leading the league in it. The Bills are there at one point last year. But you want to know how you get to 1-1-1, being an average to below average to bad team. You get those turnovers. Everyone harped on it last year. I think that the first 2 weeks, the Bills haven't gotten really any. So I think it's time that script could flip if Kirk Cousins is trying to do too much without a running game. And now that running game for Minnesota hasn't been very good at all. The run blocking's been poor. The running game in general has been poor. And the Bills' run defense has been good. I think that you're not doing this game justice by mentioning Dalvin Cook's inactive. Yeah, okay, we get it. But their running game wasn't good with him. It's not blocking very good. And I just think that that's could. And then the Bills' run defense is playing good. I mean, their yards that they've allowed looks like they're 20th in the league. Their yards per carry is up in the top of the league. They've just, you know, teams have been running it a little bit. They did a good job against Melvin Gordon, and they did a really good job against Alex Collins. You know, toward the late stages of the Baltimore game, you know, Buck Allen was in there doing some scrap work. Austin Ekeler had a couple of good runs, but Bills' run defense by and large has been fine for me. We'll see if that holds true against really just Latavius Murray. That's it in the run game. So, you know, he's filled in for Cook before and potentially been just as good. So, we'll see what happens at that specific, I think, advantage Buffalo there in that one. As well as just defensively for Minnesota, they haven't scored out particularly as strong as I would have expected. Overall defense, their run defense has been pretty good. So whatever, the Bills could be without a running back, could be another situation where, you know, the Bills are going to have to throw the ball. But their coverage hasn't been as good as I thought, and their pass rush hasn't been as good as I thought. So could be some matchups if the Bills do go to Bodine, a guy that could really help out Josh Allen with his line calls. He's poor in run block, and I think that's why he scores out poor. So if the Bills are back there chucking, trying to keep up, Bodine might be the guy to go to, as he scores out usually pretty well, hasn't allowed a ton of sacks in his day. So watch out for that change to be made. I really do anticipate that happening. That'd be Russell Bodine for Ryan Groy. So I think that there could be an advantage Bills. Maybe if they can get that pass game going a little bit. Once again, I mentioned special teams. I mentioned the Bills run stopping. Put Kirk Cousins back there making plays and do whatever you can to lock down Thielen and Diggs. Lock them down. I'm not a coach. I do what I can. Trey White, put him on, let's say Diggs. Then Thielen, whether he's being covered in the slot by Taron Johnson or on the outside boundary by presumably Phillip Gaines, put a safety there. Put a safety there. You need White to come through and win his one-on-ones. You can slide a guy over there if you need to at times, but I need a safety over Thielen at all times, no matter where he is. Got to do that. Trust the rest of the offense, our defense, to stop the run like I think that they can, and focus on those two receivers or their best players. Kyle Rudolph, another matchup. We're going to need to do what we can to stop him. Tremaine Edmonds has got to be in this game. He's got to be, you know, Matt Milano needs to come up big. Lorenzo Alexander needs to come off the edge and help that pass rush out again. Played relentless football with Jerry Hughes last week. Great to see. Those are matchups. The Bills have potential to win those matchups and equally come out with a better result than a 17-point spread. I think it's a 7-point football game. This is the last time I'm going to predict this. I see the positives in this matchup. I think it's a 7-point football game. Minnesota wins because they're home. I think it's going to go 27-20. I think the Bills are going to put 20 on the board. I actually think Minnesota's going to win late. So we'll see if that's true at all, or if it's the same old 23-0, 23-3. Bills start to play better in the second half, and then, you know, it ends up as a little bit better. But I really, really think it could be a 7-point game, and I think they cover the spread. It's those scripted plays in the beginning of the game. You need to get in a flow to where you have a chance at this thing. Got to have a chance at this game. You got to stop those scripted plays. You know, they stopped it. They finally, you know, deferred again. Got to stop. Then the second series, though, that, like, it kind of defeats the purpose of a deferral if you go three and out and then punt it back and then they drive. So you got to, almost to me, maybe use your scripted plays and take the ball. Like, you have a rookie quarterback in Minnesota. It is what it is. Like, take the ball, and do your best with your scripted plays rather than getting behind 7-0 and needing to scrap your scripted plays because it's a totally different game, or getting behind even more than that. So I want to see those scripted plays. I want to take the football, and I want to try to see if I can, we can make a 3-0. I mean, it's not too outlandish to think about, but that's the pregame show, and that's Locked On Bills. I really thank everyone for tuning into this jam-packed edition. Check it out. You know, check us out at Locked On Bills. But, you know, that's Locked On. So that's Locked On Bills on Twitter. I'm Kevin Misery, and I really appreciate it. Check out these weekend editions and past shows with Vikings experts who are very confident about this game. So that's really interesting to hear. We will talk to you guys soon, and check out our next week's jam-packed shows.